Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. Hope your day is off to a fantastic start. How are you guys doing this morning?
Absolutely wonderful.
Little song and dance, Keith?
Yeah, I'm good, man.
It's, at least a song. I don't know if you're dancing or not.
The lights coming through the windows. I'm just chilling, kicking back, waiting to get going, waiting for this amazing show that,
I think the yeah is probably the most.
I was going to say amazing show to rehash some of these great highlights from last night's games. But
which games were those?
Exactly.
What about you, LZ?
I have been in a fantastic mood. I told you guys I'm working on a little project, a little Laker project. So I'm talking to a couple of the greats, and it's just been fantastic hearing some of these stories that I used to see. These games I used to watch on television, but listening to the players relive them has been an absolute treat for me. And then on top of that, my friends, I have been living life because of this Tupac Shakur story out of Kentucky. Do you guys know this story?
No, you can tell it to me, though.
I will tell you. So Tupac Shakur filed for unemployment in the great state of Kentucky, and he was flagged, and it was denied because Tupac is dead, right? Wrong! Somebody in Kentucky's name is actually Tupac Shakur. So even though the person flagged it and said, hold up now, you trying to pull an okey-doke, it was a double okey-doke because somebody's mama named their child Tupac Shakur, and they grew up in 5-1 employment in Kentucky. And every time I read something on the story, I just laugh.
Not bad. Not bad. I mean, I would imagine.
What about you?
Well, I had a really good day yesterday that I had. We did a virtual kind of date night. Susan and I went out and got some dinner and sat in the car and looked at the ocean and ate our food. So it was kind of one of those. I needed to get outside. I needed to get away. I needed a little time from the other people that are in this house 24 hours a day. So it was good.
Were you in the front seat or the back seat?
We were in the front seat.
I'm thinking back.
It wasn't that kind of date. It was just a get away from the
you
kids.
You can go in the front
date.
Seat and recline.
Not in that car, you can't.
Windows foggy.
It was good. It was good.
Windows foggy.
Straight Titanic, baby. I love you, Rose.
It was a good night. I
at least you still got it in you, Trav. I thought, you know.
Yeah.
Sweet. You didn't think I had that move?
Well,
Yo, Key, Travis left the house, but Sweet T was driving.
I understand. I get it. Mm-hmm.
I'll take it. It's funny, listening to the open right there, the Isaiah stuff still goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And I know, obviously, The Last Dance was going to get a ton of attention no matter what. The Last Dance was going to get more attention because of the pandemic and we're all at home and the numbers, you know, are through the roof. And, of course, episodes 5 and 6 coming up this weekend, and we all can't wait for that. But that this part of the story is the part that everybody seems to really sink their teeth into and won't let it go, I think is interesting. That the Isaiah walking off the court and Michael being mad about it 25 years later, that's the piece that we've really latched onto.
Well, it is, but I'm good. I'm glad to see that Ron Thornton came out and said that he never spoke, or no one in the NBA that had any, you know, any dealings with the U.S. committee spoke about Isaiah being, you know, put off the list by Michael Jordan or anybody else. That was good to see. So we could, I guess, somewhat end that controversy about a Detroit Piston being left off the Olympic team.
Key, you do realize that makes no sense, right?
I'm just going to go with what the last guy said. That's all.
Well, let me translate for you. I don't want to interrupt my relationship with Michael Jordan for Isaiah Thomas. So if I need to throw a body underneath the bus, it's going to be the point guard, not the all-time great.
I understand. Thorne has a relationship with MJ. I get it. I understand.
Because there's no way on God green earth anyone who knows an inkling about basketball throughout the 80s and into the early 90s and Dream Team was in 92 is going to look at all the NBA Finals MVPs and say, you know what? This team that went to the finals for three straight years, yeah, they don't have anybody that should represent. Like, that makes no sense at all. Every other team, and with the exception of the 76ers, from the point in which, you know, 80 all the way through 92, every team basically had a representative from their championship team representing the Dream Team, except for Detroit Pistons. And the only reason why the 76ers didn't have a representative is because Dr. J had retired and Moses Malone was older than, you know, B. Arthur at that point. That's the only reason. Every other team from broke down Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, every other championship
had Barkley.
Barkley was a son at that point, but yeah, I agree with you.
Was Barkley a son at that point?
He had a little DNA in him at that point.
No, Barkley was there, but Barkley did not win a championship ring.
No. Not in Philly.
Was he on the Olympic team when he was a Sixer?
No, he was in Phoenix by then, right?
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, he didn't win a ring.
It only matters because what you just said. You said everybody from every team had a representative except the 76ers. So I'm saying, wasn't Barkley on?
Philly. His last season in Philly ended the summer of 92, and then he went to Phoenix in the fall of 92.
But he played anyway. Basically summer of 92. He played on the Dream Team as a Sixer.
Yeah, but Charles Barkley was not those guys. Charles Barkley's a great player.
No, I get it. I understand that, but LZ was just saying that the 76ers didn't have any representatives on those Dream Teams. And I said, well, Barkley, that's all
I was saying. Well, I meant no representative from their championship team. All the championship teams that were won basically from 1980 with the Lakers all the way until 92 had a rep, with the exception of the 76ers, because everyone from that particular team had aged out. And the Pistons, who obviously very much still had players in their prime.
And I knew once Rod Thornton said what he said, people was going to do exactly like you, LZ. Say, oh, you just trying to protect your side for Michael because Michael is your guy. I knew that was coming.
Don't you believe that's true, though, Key? I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me that Rod Thorne is going to make sure that Michael comes out of this looking right. That's his number one goal. If that means he's got to take a little bit, he will.
It makes all the sense in the world, but I would think by now it doesn't matter because I'm Michael Jordan. Yeah, I told them he can't be on the team, period.
You know, that's interesting because why doesn't Michael Jordan want that? Why doesn't he want to be, Isaiah and I are not good and I didn't want him on the team and that was part of the deal to get me on the team. I mean, I wouldn't think differently of Michael Jordan at that point. I wonder why he's so adamant about not taking ownership of that when we all just assume it to be true.
I don't know. You have to ask Michael.
I don't know. What I do know, and the part of the reason why Rod Thorne's, you know, his point just rings hollow, is that he suggested that, you know, Isaiah Thomas's name was on the list, but he didn't make the cut. And it was like, how does the finals MVP from 1990, how does the guy who was just in the All-Star game, how does the guy who led the team to two championships and could actually still play, unlike Bird, who led three championships but can't play, how is he not qualified to be on the Dream Team? Like, that makes no basketball sense.
Because Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson is on the Dream Team, and we rather have them than him. They don't need to have a conversation with us. We already know that it's probably not a good idea to add him. Have you ever thought about that?
My point being is there's non-basketball reasons why Isaiah Thomas wasn't there. And
that's not what I asked you, though. I asked you, have you ever thought about that maybe they saw the list and they said these other guys on the list are more important and we know that there's no relationship there. We are not going to add him because we want them.
Well, that's what I just said, Key.
But without Michael and without Magic and without Scottie or anybody else going to them to vouch for him not being on the team.
It may be understood.
All I'm saying is that it's non-basketball reasons.
Oh, we don't know.
Of course it's non-basketball reasons. He was a hell of a player.
Well, that's my point, Key. He was a great player. He was still valuable. The question is, who pulled the trigger? if you're telling us that it wasn't the players and Rod Thorne's conversation or what he said yesterday doesn't seem to make a lot of basketball sense, no one's being man enough to take ownership of the non-basketball reasons why Isaiah Thomas wasn't on the team. That ultimately is the point.
But nobody is going to take that. Nobody's going to say why he's not on the team. They're not going
to
say that.
They don't need
to. Just accept that they're not going to say it.
All right, so the Dream Team portion of The Last Dance, we think, is coming up in episodes 5 and 6. Of course, that's coming up Sunday night at 6 o'clock on ESPN, streaming live on the ESPN app, and you can get caught up on any of the episodes that you might have missed. Episodes 1 through 4 are available now on the ESPN app and ESPN On Demand as well. All right, no less an authority than Brett Favre says that the Packers stepped in it by drafting Jordan Love. We'll get into that. We'll hear from Favre. That's coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Packers move up from number 30 to number 26 to take a quarterback. They take Jordan Love with the 26th pick in the draft, despite people that follow the draft and the team say the Packers need weapons, and everybody assumes, guys, that Aaron Rodgers is put off by it. We've talked about it a lot. Key, you seem to be more okay with it than most people as far as doing what they did and setting up their future. Apparently, Brett Favre spoke with Aaron Rodgers, and it doesn't sound like Aaron Rodgers is all that okay with it. Let's take a listen to Favre on with Rich Eisen yesterday.
My last one for you, Brett, and it's a difficult question, but I'm going to ask it. Certainly more difficult to answer since it looks into the future. It's the old crystal ball, and you even said yourself.
I think you'll play somewhere else.
You do. You cut me off. You think he will not end his career as a Green Bay Packer just like you?
My gut tells me no. You know, Tom Brady and myself and Joe Montana and Peyton Manning, just to name a few, finished their career elsewhere. And in my case, I played with 4 different teams. So I think that you're going to see that trend more and more. And I think Aaron will finish somewhere else. That's my gut. I guarantee you this. And I don't know this for certain, but I guarantee you it's got the wheels turning in Aaron's mind, which if that's the case, then that means that there's a chip on his shoulder towards the organization that otherwise was not there.
Well, what's so bad about what Brett's saying? Brett's correct. Aaron Rodgers is probably going to play somewhere else. That is true. The other quarterbacks did play somewhere else. Tom Brady is somewhere else. It happens. This is the league. It's nothing new. I don't understand why it's like all of a sudden, because Brett Favre said it, it's supposed – Brett Favre went through it. So he knows. He understands what it feels like.
Let me try to explain the difference in my mind. The difference is that when Brett Favre moved down the road to the Jets and ultimately the Vikings, it's because Brett Favre's performance in Green Bay had started to regress. Tom Brady played 20 years there and wanted a change of scenery and went. Peyton Manning had gotten hurt and needed to go somewhere else because they drafted Andrew Luck at number 1 overall after missing an entire season. This is really unique, Key, in the sense that Aaron Rodgers is coming off of a great season, both individually and team-wise, where they got to the NFC Championship game. The hole on the roster was pretty obvious as far as a playmaking wide receiver, and they went and drafted a quarterback. These are unique circumstances. I get the quarterbacks move. They go to different teams. But this set of circumstances where you're accelerating the conflict, or the confrontation, I guess is a better word, with your star quarterback, this does feel unique.
See, I don't think that you're accelerating. I think that you're looking ahead and saying to yourself – that 3 years from now, we're going to have to draft a quarterback, and I don't want that quarterback to be raw and not ready to go when we need him to go. I'd rather get this guy now because 3 years from now, this guy may not be around. That is how you approach when you're building a team. You don't wait for the shoe to drop before you react.
But here's the thing, Key. If you had, let's say, 1 piece of bread – and you
if I had 1 piece of bread, then I'm going to be in trouble.
If you have 1 piece of bread and you have 2 people who are hungry, you have to decide who's going to get the piece of bread. And in this situation, they gave the piece of bread to the up-and-coming future as opposed to the current great. And you have to ask yourself, why? If that's what the first draft pick was. It was one decision to make for today versus making that decision for tomorrow. They opted to go for tomorrow, which makes today questionable, and you got to ask yourself why.
Makes it questionable to who?
to every
the quarterback,
single
the star.
But that's not true, because they have players that they may feel good about that we don't see, that we don't know, that they've evaluated up against Keith, the players in the draft. This is what you do. You evaluate the guys on your roster versus the guys in free agency versus the guy in the draft, and you make the decision.
Yes, and they made a decision to look forward as opposed to today. That's the point. It doesn't
matter. They don't need to look to the receiver and tight end position because they're satisfied with what they have. So they're not satisfied with the future at quarterback and his backup. They're not satisfied with that, so they addressed it. It's not difficult.
No,
you're
it's not
making
difficult.
It difficult.
No.
Keith, it's not difficult. It's obvious. I just don't understand why they picked the fight. This doesn't seem like a fight to have right now.
But it's not a fight.
Let me read you this, Key. This is another part of the conversation that Brett Favre had yesterday. And this kind of goes back to one of the things we heard there where Brett Favre said, I'm not going to say for sure, but I guarantee. This is another quote. It says, I'm not going to talk about all that we talked about, but he was, let's just say he was surprised that they went in that direction. That to me is
okay.
The,
so
is
he,
a pretty
he,
obvious
he was
thing.
He was surprised that they went in that direction because he thought, like many, that they would go in another direction and take another type of player, like many people thought. So he probably thought that when he saw that they took a quarterback, he was like, okay, well, they took a QB. I thought maybe we would take a Stromile Swift at running back, or maybe we would take a receiver, or what? Maybe we would take a tight end since we lost Jimmy Graham, but. They obviously feel good about what they already have.
Or the reaction was, wait, they just took who? What the hell is going on around here? Well, why did they take that? We don't need a quarterback. I'm here. I'm healthy. I'm good to go. What I need is I need one more guy to get over the damn hump. We were a game away from going to the Super Bowl. I don't need – the reason we didn't go to the Super Bowl is not because of backup quarterback. It's because I don't have any damn weapons.
And they would, and you know what they would say? The reason you go to the Super Bowl is because this, 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 and this. That's what they would say. So I understand Aaron Rodgers is cute and he's a Hall of Famer and all of those sort of things, and he's a good guy and he's a this and a that and he's the best arm and all. But when coaches and general managers and personnel see something that they gotta have and something that's already on their roster that they feel they have, they're gonna stick to their plan. And their plan was, this guy is falling, this guy is good enough for us to go up a couple spots and get him so we could secure our quarter potential security for our quarterback of the future, which is coming in 3 to 4 or 5 years anyway. Why would I want – if I got this guy in front of me now, why do I want to wait to see if I'm going to get one of those 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now? I'm not going to do that. I don't want – I'm not looking for Joe Burrow to walk in – raw off the streets and try and play 4 years from now. I want a guy who's been behind, who's been in a quarterback room, who's an NFL guy, who's gotten bigger, stronger, and understands the NFL game. So when I turn the page to him, much like we did with Aaron Rodgers several years ago with Brett Favre, even though some would say Brett Favre was at the end, Brett Favre was not at the end. Brett Favre wasn't at the end. Brett Favre led the team to the NFC Championship game.
Your scenario makes a lot of sense if the only thing you're trying to get done is prepare for the future. If all I'm trying to do is make sure that I'm ready to go in 2025.
So why else would you take him if that's not what you're looking to do?
That's the question, though. That's exactly right. I don't understand why the Packers decided that 2025 was more important than 2021.
But it's
because
not. It's only
2019, we were a game away from the Super Bowl.
But it's not. It's not. Not one. You're drafting a rookie wide receiver. Let's assume you're talking about him getting a receiver because you keep saying help, right?
Right.
A rookie wide receiver is probably not going to help you get to the next level. It's not going to get you over the hump, especially these rookies. Because, again, there is no Julio Joneses, there is no Michael Thomases, there is no Keyshawn Johnsons in this particular draft.
But just because there are no Jordans doesn't mean you can't benefit from having Pippen.
God, LZ, you and your analogies is driving me up a wall right now. I'm getting scratching my nails.
Because I'm trying to talk to you straight. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting it, so I'm trying to give you some analogies to help
you
out.
Get it. You're not getting it. I get it 100% about what they're doing.
I get it 1,000%. The question is, You had a choice to make in the first round, and you chose tomorrow. That's all I'm saying.
And I probably, and to be honest with you,
why did you choose today?
If be honest with you, if I'm sitting in their position and in their seat, and I'm looking at what we have on our depth chart, I'm probably going to do the same thing if I can get this type of quarterback. You don't pass on a potential franchise quarterback. You just don't. You don't. How many people have been on this show in the last several days said you don't pass on a franchise quarterback?
Like everybody.
You just don't.
All right. The NCAA must have been listening to us yesterday, because what we were talking about with college basketball got addressed by them when it comes to dollars and cents. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
You know, it's nice to know, guys, that we've got a little influence in the universe. Feels good. It feels good because...
Raj, turn down your damn TV.
No, that was me. That was my bad. I turned it down. I had it on for when we were getting before. I just forgot to hit the little mute button. That's been fixed. That was bad.
Travis, turn down your damn TV.
I did. It's down now. Yeah, it's been down for 10 minutes. We're good to go. We talked yesterday about the fact that three of the top 20 college basketball players in the country decided, you know what, I'm not going to go play college basketball. I'm going to go to the G League, including the number one guy. And then yesterday, the number 20 guy from UCLA, he decided he's going to go. Also yesterday, the NCAA's top governing body said that it supports a proposal to allow college athletes to sign endorsement contracts and receive payment for other work, provided that the schools they attend are not involved in any of the payments. What that means is, guys can go get paid now. Guys can use their name and likeness to go earn some money, which is a radical change in position for the NCAA, and one not done out of philanthropy or done out of the goodness of their heart, but rather because they have to compete on the market. I believe that to be true.
And they do. And at the end of the day, the G League has stepped up to the plate in a big way with these young guns, and the NC2A has seen that part of it. Also, players – in college deserve exactly what the NC2A is. In the way that they phrased it, they didn't say we signing off on it or whatever. They said it's a good idea, basically. It still has to get voted on and all the other things. When several months ago they weren't on board with any of it, but I think that they realized we better figure this out in a heartbeat, because if we don't, we're going to wind up losing and making ourselves look real stupid. And players, look, it's only going to be a handful of guys, but they put some restrictions on it where you won't be able to use the school logos, things of that nature. So Essentially what you'll say is it's LZ Grandison running back. It's not going to say where LZ Grandison play at, which is stupid for the NC2A, because therefore you're taking stuff away from the universities. Okay, so if I want to put my guy in a Kentucky Wildcat basketball uniform, then let him. It helps the university, knuckleheads. It's just they do one thing smart, then they go backwards. Two steps forward, eight back.
It's really funny that, you know, they're trying to position the athletes in a situation where they're trying to say that you're making money because of your affiliation with this university, so we're going to take that away from you so you can see how difficult it is. Whereas they work in conjunction with one another. There are a lot of kids who live outside of the region who are aware of universities only because of sports and become curious to attend a university only because of your sports presence. So to Key's point, to try to divorce those two, the school that the player plays for from the player is ridiculous. Go ahead. If you're from Michigan, go ahead and let them market that they're a Michigan player. That does help your school. But on top of that, it's like, why pretend as if we don't know why we are familiar with this person to begin with?
Well,
when I used to do the magazine covers, and I would always argue, why do we have to have Peyton Manning wearing a suit and holding a football? Like, people don't know who Peyton Manning is unless he's holding a football. Like, it's like at this point, like it's silliness. So why separate the school from the player?
Well, the amateur athletes, you know, in that particular region, that particular town. I mean, if you're in Tennessee, they may know you in Knoxville, but outside of Knoxville, they don't know a collegiate athlete. You have to be Zion Williams for people to know exactly who you are.
Yeah, the college athlete that is a national, you know, a face that we know
and
are pretty
only
rare.
About three of them a year.
Those guys are very rare. I kind of get why the NCAA or the universities, like, for instance, if let's just use USC. If you're the quarterback at USC and USC doesn't want you to have the Trojan jersey on, I get it. It's the same thing when sometimes you'll see an NFL or an NBA player in a uniform in a commercial that isn't their team because they haven't gotten the marketing.
It's stupid.
I get it. It's stupid. I own that brand. I'm not going to give it to you for nothing.
That's the card that they're holding back right now. They want the marketing people and the consumers or the advertising agencies to come to them and say, what's it going to cost for us to use your little silly logo? That's what it is. It's about
them trying to figure out how to make some money. I don't have a problem with that. The part that I do like is two things. Number one, the state of California got this ball rolling. You go back, what was it, guys, 18 months or so ago when
we talked about this originally? Hold on one sec. Yeah, it is. It was originally at the beginning of the year. But the problem that you have in not having a problem with, the problem that you're going to have is that people that make the decisions from a marketing standpoint want to be able to identify that particular athlete in that particular university's gear. And if you're telling us that we can't unless we pay you, our budget is only so much. If I'm giving the player $2,000 and our budget is $5,000 for cameraman, makeup, whatever, I'm just using round numbers, small numbers.
Yeah.
Now you want us to give you $3,500 of our $5,000.
Yeah,
To do the shoot, and you know that.
I understand that, but instead of saying, okay, I'm going to give you my $3,500 so I can throw on a USC jersey, I'm going to throw on a red or a red and yellow jersey.
Doesn't resonate the same.
Not to you and me, it doesn't, Key, because we're super plugged into it. You and I know instantly that it's not.
How do you know what I'm plugged into?
Because I spent a lot of time with you. If you just threw a cardinal and gold jersey on some guy and in a commercial, all of a sudden, you know, it pops on, and let's just use Keaton Slovis as the example. Keaton Slovis says, hey, it's Keaton Slovis here. I'm down here for blah, 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 Chevrolet. Come on down, and I'm sought at autographs. And he's in a Cardinal gold jersey. Nobody understands the difference between those two things.
Coach, I've done that before when I was with the Jets. We shot a
– Right.
It wasn't a direct TV commercial. But it was a competitor of like
– And you were in a green or white jersey, right?
Oh, my God, it was hilarious. We did it at the Coliseum. I was in a generic green and white jersey with these – fake people in the stands. Oh, it was hilarious because the NFL wouldn't, you know, they wanted so much money for the licensing fees and people didn't want to pay it.
It's going to benefit the athlete ultimately. Maybe they're going to negotiate some stupid stuff, but if that guy can go to the car dealership or the phone store or whatever it is and make a few thousand bucks because he's the quarterback or the star point guard or whatever it might be on any of these teams, this is good news. And the only reason they're doing it is because they're losing guys to other things, namely the G League. This was an incentive that they had to give in on.
But real talk, though, if I'm one of them dudes, I'm still not messing with it. I'm still not doing NCAA. You still make more guaranteed money as a G Leaguer, and more importantly,
basketball is a different category, LZ.
Yeah,
that's a different deal.
There's a difference between, you know, I'm making money using my image while at Duke if I'm Zion versus I'm being paid professionally to play basketball.
Well,
given my choice, I would much rather. Even if the money was equal, I would much rather be paid as a basketball player because that just feels right, feels better than being sold off as a pitch man for college.
You know, it's interesting. These conversations is so much like in my career, things have come up that was just, you know, it was interesting. When I left high school prior to going to junior college, you know, there was one guy in all of the NFL that never played college ball at the time that Fernandez was his name, played for the Raiders, was in Canada. And so when I left Dorsey High School to go to West LA Junior College, I wasn't originally going to go to junior college. I didn't qualify to go to USC. I originally was going to go to Canada out of high school to play football. And I worked out. Actually, you know who was throwing to me? It was Todd Marinovich. And I worked out for I worked out for a old veteran scout general manager named Lanny Julius. Anybody in the sports world of football world know who Lanny Julius is. So I worked out in Orange County. Steve Clarkson put it together. The great quarterback coach Steve Clarkson put it together. And I was an 18, 19-year-old kid. And my mom, you know, my mom just didn't want me to do it. So I wound up going to junior college. But I saw the opportunity to go develop in Canada for a couple years and then maybe have an opportunity to go into the NFL after the fact. So the money certainly was enticing, especially for somebody, you know, who was coming from where I was coming from in my background, being able to be, you know, stand in an apartment with all five brothers and sisters, six brothers and sisters, you know, so you look at that, and this is kind of where the G League is going, where guys can get a jump start. Because in college, you're only going to get a couple guys that get under the table real money that's going to be able to help their family for those 6-7 months in college basketball. You're only going to get a handful of those guys. Because if there was no G League, you best believe them Arizona Wildcats is going to cheat. Them Kentucky Wildcats are going to cheat.
Oh, by the way.
Blue Devils going to cheat to a degree.
They still are. This doesn't end the cheating. It just makes it a little bit easier for everybody else to do it. The cheating will still be there.
It depends on who it is, though. Yeah. We ain't paying nobody that can't play hoops.
Of course not. But they're not paying anybody that can't do it right now. There's more there. We'll come back. We'll do that. But coming up next, we're going to do the post-draft power rankings. Who did the best after the draft heading into the season? We'll start with number 10. That's coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. I swear, man. But the Andy Dalton thing, you're right. He's over 500 in his career. I would have got that wrong by 10,000 miles.
Well,
over 500.
I said he was, you know, he's a decent player.
Yeah.
And he's not great. He's not awful.
No.
He's just there, and he's, what, nine games, 500.
Nine.
And I said eight.
You were close. Let's go to the power rankings after the draft, going into the season, when we get back to football. The 10th power-ranked team in Key's world is who?
Seattle Seahawks.
Seattle Seahawks, of
Seattle
course.
Seattle Seahawks is ranked 10. They playoff team a year ago, they went out and drafted Alton Robinson from Syracuse in the fifth round, but he dropped in the draft because of some off-the-field issues, some crazy off-the-field issues. A young man who took his girlfriend's purse multiple times because, I don't know, obviously she had her phone in it or something. One of those high school things came back to hunt him, and so he drops in the draft. But Jadeveon Clowney, hopefully they get him signed. And I think when you look at it, they took another edge rusher in Darrell Taylor from the University of Tennessee. So they've stacked up just in case Jadeveon Clowney isn't there. They obviously got something out of Metcalf last year. They build on that. They get a healthy running back group back again. They're my number 10 team.
All right, Seattle at number 10. Number 9.
Number 9 is an interesting one to me. Number 9 is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think if as of right now, if everything goes the way they think with Ben Roethlisberger coming back healthy, they drafted Claypool, which is a big thing for them. They went out and got Eric Ebron. They got some pieces that I believe that'll put them in a position to be successful.
You know, you mentioned Big Ben, and we saw him. You know, he got hurt very early in the season last year and basically missed the entire season. Any concern at all that he comes back and he's just not Big Ben anymore? Does he pick up where he left off?
I mean, he's always been like herky-jerky. He hasn't been smooth, so I don't see where all of a sudden you're going to see something different. He's still
not smooth in like aesthetics, but just in results.
I don't know. I mean, it's an injury, so I don't know. I'm hoping for the best, but this is still early and we don't know.
All right, number 8.
The number 8 team is an interesting team to me.
Detroit!
What, 38? this is an interesting one because it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And when you think about Tom Brady, O.J. Howard, Gronkowski, Evans and Godwin, the running backs, the offensive line. They went out and drafted Tristan. They went up to get Tristan Wirfs in the 13th pick of the first round. So they certainly have gotten some stuff. Bruce Arians has shown that he can coach a team to the playoffs. And I think if you eliminate those 30 interceptions and cut them down into 15, which I do automatically anyway because I do know that a lot of them are receivers' faults and other players' faults, and then I cut it down even more because it's Tom Brady, you certainly have found yourself a winning formula. Now, whether or not that clicks and it all goes together, I don't know, but I put him in that spot.
Key, real fast, when it comes to the Bucks, and you have them 8, so I think I know the answer to this question, but the odds that they make the playoffs are what? Are they 50-50? Are they better than that? Because the division's tough and the NFC is loaded.
I think they're better than that. They signed Dominican Sue back. I think they're better than that. I think they're probably 60-40. I think it's a 60-40 type deal because they did add teams. Now, you add a couple more teams to the playoffs, they may be on that outside.
Just one. There's one. I mean, they get that 17th in there, but you'd look at the NFC, I mean, you're going to have to win probably 10 games, and that's just not easy
but
to do. Even if you're
a
good
team,
that's not easy.
Even
to
with
do.
The 30 interceptions, they were not a team that was getting blown out of games. They were
not
losing games based on dumb mistakes. So if you could clean that
up. Who made those mistakes?
If you can clean that up, then I think, again, whenever you have an interception machine as a quarterback, you always have to discount those interceptions because people go the wrong way, much like his receiver, Godwin said. Some of them are on us. So I'm going to cut that in half, and then if you cut that in half, Tom Brady going to give you 7. That's what he's going to give you. So that's going to result into a couple wins, and then you're going to get a screw-up by somebody, so that'll give you another win. So you'll be probably right on the edge of making the playoffs.
Let's go to number 7.
Number 7 is interesting. If you want to call it a power ranking or you just want to call it a team that makes the playoffs, because I don't know how they'll fare, but I like the Buffalo Bills in this situation.
Mm.
I do. I think when you look at Stephon Diggs, the addition of Stephon Diggs, they did lose Shaq Lawson, but they picked up Zach Moss in the third round, which is a big, huge get for them at the running back spot. I think when you look at the A.J. Espinosa at the defensive end spot that they picked up in the third round, that's a big one for them. They got a backup quarterback in Jake Fromm. Hey, Jake Fromm's going to push Josh Allen. Nobody's saying that. But anyway, and no Tom Brady in the division. They'll probably win that division. Probably, but you can't count New England out no matter what. Right now, they would have to be a powerful team within that division. They're going to probably win it, and they're probably going to get themselves some confidence and some momentum. So they'll take on anybody, and that's kind of how I look at them sitting at that spot.
It feels like a lifetime ago, but keep in mind, I mean, Buffalo had a really good chance to beat Houston last year in the playoffs and go to the divisional round. They were good last year. That they're going to be better this year, not a huge surprise.
Not a huge surprise at all. I mean, and when you look at it, this is a team that continues to keep building. They're not going backwards. They're going forward. Ever since they made the mistake of putting in a Peterman and trying to replace Tyrod Taylor.
What a disaster.
The Peterman, they corrected that.
That was bad.
It was so funny. I was texting with Brandon Beam yesterday, the general manager of the Buffalo Bills. We were just having a little text going back and forth because he was either on First Take. Yeah, I think it was First Take that he was on, or maybe it was even Sports Center. And I saw him up there, and I told him that he needed to hit the treadmill because I'm starting to see walnuts in his cheeks.
All right, number 6.
He liked that, huh? Number 6 is the one and only America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. Took the Cowboys at number 6. I think when you look at what they did in the draft, I'm happy with that. I think CeeDee Lamb was a guy. See, here's a perfect example. Did the Dallas Cowboys need CeeDee Lamb? No, they did not. They did not. But what did they do? They took what they didn't need because they didn't expect for him to be there, and he is good. So you say, well, what about Amari Cooper? Well, no.
But you can put two wide receivers on the field at the same time.
But they could have addressed something else like safety early in the draft, like a guy like Xavier McKinney, moved down and got extra picks and picked up an Xavier McKinney and didn't have to pick up CeeDee Lamb. They could have gotten another receiver. All I'm trying to say in this Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers situation is these things come up that you don't expect that makes your team better. And I think that that is what the Dallas Cowboys as well as the Green Bay Packers saw. But the Dallas Cowboys is number six with CeeDee Lamb grabbing him, put him with Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup. You got to think that the defense is going to get better with Nolan as their new defensive coordinator. Mike McCarthy certainly knows how to coach football, although he ran out of gas at the end with the Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. But he has a new fresh breath right now. And he's sitting with a team at number six in my power rankings. And I think that's fair. I think that's a fair assessment for them. I mean, I think that the Dallas Cowboys are finally going to push it to the limit this year and get all the way there to the point where it's going to really break your heart.
Seattle, Pittsburgh, Tampa, Buffalo, and Dallas. That's 10 through 6. We will do 1 through 5 or 5 through 1 coming up later on in the show. Coming up next, Rod Thorne says Isaiah was not on that team and Michael Jordan didn't say a word. You buying it? That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.